Hi, this is John. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, contact me directly for private one-on-one work, access written, audio, and video teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. May you realize true peace and happiness. So we'll start with just some sitting since you just got here, so we can just drop in. And generally I'll hit a bell to indicate the end of the sitting, okay? Make yourself comfortable as you can, and eyes open or closed, whatever you're comfortable with. See if you can allow yourself to arrive as fully as you can right now, just here, with whatever you're sensing, whatever you're feeling, whatever's happening in your mind, your body, your heart, or your energy field. And if needed, bring attention to the breath to help you calm down and become more relaxed. Either natural awareness of the breath, or actually, if you want to do nice, slow inhales and exhales, can help calm and center your nervous system. I think the today's topic is be free to not know. Is that right? Something like that? Okay. I don't know. I think we had originally called it lighten your load or something like that, or, which I liked a lot. Kenneth wasn't sure about it, so. I was reflecting back on when I was very identified with being the believer and the knower. And I was on the competitive road to enlightenment. And I think around, by the time I got to the Zen monastery, I was 20, and I remember speaking to one of the monks there, and the first question I asked him was, how long does it take to get enlightened? And he couldn't answer that. And I was, that was irritating. And so I looked around and I noticed people wearing robes and had shaved heads. And I said, how long does it take to become a priest? He said, oh, about 7 years. I said, okay, in 7 years I'll be enlightened. I figured that's got to be it, right? And you know, there is a place. You know, I often talk about being the freedom of not knowing, the freedom of not believing, which is really a description of our fundamental nature, our awareness. And yet, I also want to say something about the importance of knowing and believing. Because as long as one is identified in that way, that is going to be happening. And there is a very positive side of it, actually. I was just listening to an interview. You may have heard it. The subject was the power of the mind to heal. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. And just even the research now around all the different kinds of placebo effects. Pretty amazing. That if you believe you're getting an antidepressant, your body produces serotonin. If you believe you're getting an analgesic, your body produces endorphins. And there's a whole raft of things like this, and that's pretty far out, actually, if you think about it, that our minds actually are that powerful. If you believe you are threatened, your body is going to produce stress hormones, whether you're threatened or not. So how you think and what you believe actually affects you profoundly. Very important. So I just want to acknowledge the importance of and value of knowledge and belief, obviously. And when I speak of being free of belief, it's really the burden of being the knower who needs to be secure in knowing as a way of really being defended. That's very specific, because awakening and becoming free is really about the shift of identity from the separate self to pure consciousness. And in that realm of being, there is no knower. There is nothing known or believed at all. There's just pure awareness. It's that simple. You can't really orchestrate that shift. You can't make yourself not believe or be free of knowing. It doesn't really work that way. It's more that you notice the impact of your knowing or your believing, such that it's either in the way of opening and being free, or it's not. That's all. Along the way in my own journey, I fortunately came to a major point of transition. I think most people call it awakened, shift, whatever. I don't know, whatever language is used. But it was a 180-degree shift in my understanding at that point. And it was the end of the knower and the believer. It was pretty remarkable, actually, because I was very identified with being a knower and a believer. I mean, I was, you know, very competitive at it. And I think, you know, I had all the books, read every single book and studied deeply and all of it. And I wanted to be free. I mean, who doesn't, right? Well, I don't know if everybody wants to be free, but you do. If I can be presumptuous. But after this shift, literally the burden of knowing was gone. It was really this profound openness of aliveness.
And I've shared this before, but it was incredible because physically, I actually felt weightless. I actually felt like I was floating, that I wasn't even touching the ground. I was so light. It was amazing. I remember telling my teacher back then that I couldn't read spiritual books anymore, and we both laughed about that. I told him I'd read one line and I'd fall asleep. I said, I can't even read your books. And we laughed again. And he said, you don't need any intellectual input. And you get to that point, you know, where you are aware of awareness, aware of your essential nature. And when that is the foreground, and that may be right now for you, or that may come at glimpses today, that's what you want to give attention to. That's what you want to relax into, surrender into, give yourself to, love, appreciate, feel nourished by, however you like to frame that. However, whatever words work for you. But simply to allow that presence to be in consciousness. And the essence of this teaching here is transmission, is the reflection and recognition of that presence. Okay? So that's always the fundamental perspective here. Even though we learn how to allow the healing of the one who still knows and believes, we learn how to work with the movement of and the arising of the conditional sort of, you know, dark side, so to speak, so that it can heal, it can be released, and it can be integrated and literally freed. So as we glimpse the truth of our presence, we more and more become that. So for some people, it's a very rapid happening, and for many more people, it's a gradual evolution. Okay? So naturally, the identity of the knower becomes freed. Not through your own effort, not by trying to be free, not by trying to be enlightened, but simply by the natural movement of awareness deepening into itself. When that fully matures, you might describe it as Nisargadatta did, I am that. That's what he was describing. I am this presence. That's all. And you may say it, you may not have to say anything. You might just enjoy the love and the light and the connectedness and the fullness that then is each moment. Every moment of awareness is a moment of not knowing. Every moment of awareness, of being awareness, is a moment of freedom, a glimpse of the truth. And every moment of it nourishes you and moves you in the direction, if you will, of transformation. The really great thing to discover is that no effort, in a sense, on your part is required for that to happen. No understanding of it is required. All that's required is allowing it to happen. So if you're sitting here right now and you're finding yourself opening, expanding, releasing, allow that. If you find yourself uncomfortable and resistant, struggling with something in your mind, your body, or your heart, see if you can bring in some compassion for yourself, some tenderness, some reassurance, some support, patience, maybe forgiveness, particularly if you're hard on yourself. And I can pretty much say that most of us are pretty hard on ourselves. We live in a very judgmental world, very comparative and very judgmental. And we're very conditioned to put ourselves down. We're very conditioned to compare ourselves to others and to think less of ourselves and our efforts. I'm constantly working with individuals who feel bad about where they are. Wow, I've been meditating all these years. I've come to all of your damn retreats and I still hate you. No. I don't feel any love. I said, that's good, you're being honest. That's really a positive step that you're expressing yourself. I can handle it. One of my favorite moments of all retreats was in this wonderful woman, older woman, came up to me. And she was a psychologist. And she later told me this was one of the most pivotal, I just actually talked to her recently, pivotal transformative moments of her life. She got up in front of me, we had, I don't know, about 60 people at the retreat, and she screamed at the top of her lungs, "Fuck you!" I loved it. And she was transformed. Now, I don't recommend that today. I just unless you need to, let's say. As I once said, and Sajjan reminded me, there are no holy cows in this pasture. Because everything is holy. And so even the dark side holds the light. And does not need to be pushed away or rejected or fixed or changed. It just simply requires allowing, because it never got allowed. That's why it is the dark side. That's what turned it into that. And as you open more into presence, it really is the light. And of course, it illuminates the dark and it gives space. It's also space. It gives space for that which has been compressed in the unconscious to begin to bubble up. And that's why people are often frustrated when they start awakening, when they start that process, that more stuff comes up and they go, oh no, what am I doing wrong? What, this must not be the, you must not be the right teacher. I better go find somebody else. There are plenty of other people I can go find. Like Starbucks, one in every corner. If you don't like how they made the coffee, try the other one. You know. You're not doing anything wrong. you can't do anything wrong. Not really. Not when it comes to becoming free. Maybe in terms of turning your car on, if you turn the key in the opposite direction, the car's not going to turn on. I guess you could say you're doing it wrong. Or maybe you just haven't learned how to do it the way that works. So you keep turning the key to the left, and you go, I keep pressing on the gas. I keep turning the key. It's not turning on. What's wrong with this? I need to get a new car. They sold me a lemon. And someone goes, have you tried turning a key to the right? Oh, I've told you, you're not supposed to do that. I was told you never go to the right. This is the West Coast. You don't go to the right. But then you say, well, I'm afraid, you know, it's going to ruin the engine or something, or not work, and then you try it. Oh my God, it worked. All of a sudden, your paradigm is cracked. Your beliefs are like, they don't work, they're not true anymore. And that happens on this path. That you believe something to get you to a certain point, and then a shift takes place, and your worldview changes. That happens, and it can happen more than once. It can happen a lot. I always enjoyed that, actually. I don't know why, but I thought, wow, isn't that amazing that I used to believe that? I was fascinated by how narrow my mind had become being in the monastery. I was shocked. Wow, I thought I was liberal. I thought I had an open mind. I was completely surprised. That felt great to be surprised. Actually, I didn't beat myself up. I was like, wow, that is so far out. I'm so glad I got out. I might have been stuck there. Except I had something that really, I think, if you don't have this one, I take this one with you today. I had deeply installed in me, from my mom, I think, from early on, the questioner. She taught me to question. As I jokingly said, she eventually regretted it. Deeply. But if you don't have one that can question, well, maybe turning the key to the left doesn't work. Maybe I should try something different. I could walk. I could ride a bike. I could take Muni. I could get an electric skateboard. There are always options to how you're perceiving. So I would invite you today, just out of curiosity or maybe fun, is to notice what your attitude is about anything. That person, that thing, what did he, that thing he said, I don't know, anything. Some memory, some longing. And ask yourself, is this the only perspective I can have about this? Is there another perspective? And find out if the questioning opens you up in some way. Because real questioning will open you up. Because when we have more space, we can breathe and feel better. And that's what we need. That's what we're looking for. That's freedom is spaciousness. That's why when we taste the truth of it, we long for it, because we don't want to feel contracted and compressed in our defended knower self. We want to be open and alive and curious, and we want to enjoy the moment if we can. What's the point of life if we can't? And I'm not saying there are times in life that are very, very difficult, that are extremely challenging. And those are hard times for all of us, you know? And yet, even then, with this bigger perspective, we find the way through adversity and difficulty and pain and what is out of our control. The fundamental teaching, the fundamental guidance, guiding principle, the guiding light is your own true nature. Whether you're aware of that or not, it is and always has been and always will be what you are. Your belief has nothing to do with it. Trying to achieve it has nothing to do with it. It is already here now. It is already what you are. You may have to, at any moment, have a release, emotional release, something. Whatever is holding back the perception of it wants to move now. Being here, this environment is a hothouse for liberation. It is a cooker, and it will cook you. So, one way or the other, let it work. All you have to do today is be here. So in any way you can lighten your load, please do. If forgetting everything you know or letting go of all your beliefs works for you, fine. If just tending to the pain in your body or whatever you're feeling and giving that loving attention, the grief, the sadness, the frustration, the anger, the rage, whatever it is, the, you know, irritation, whatever's going on right now, whatever's going on today for this day, see if you can keep returning to a place where there's a little bit more space of allowing. Even if you have to give yourself a little guidance, like, okay, let's do a nice long inhale and a nice long exhale. And let's do a few of those to just calm down. Okay? Or maybe you need during the break to lie down outside on the grass or something, or stand in the sun, or have your hand held by a friend. You know, whatever you need, ask for it or give it to yourself. Okay? I'm really very, very glad you're here. This is such a beautiful gift that we all give ourselves. You know, it may be a hassle to get here, but it is a great pleasure and benefit to be here. So, the other important ingredient, very important ingredient, if you don't already know this, is to give yourself some appreciation. Give yourself some gratitude. Notice what you're grateful for. Maybe even be grateful for your hard efforts. Even if you're struggling or you're not where you want to be, or you're not where you'd like to be, you know, put a loving, caring hand on your shoulder or around yourself and just say, you know, I love you and appreciate you anyway, because I know you're really trying. Because we need to know that we're appreciated and loved, and it's very important, okay? And this essence that we are is really the space of unconditional love and acceptance. And it will continually heal you and nourish you and guide you. If some of what I'm saying doesn't make any sense to you or is not your experience, then let me simplify it in a different way for you. I would say just focus on your body, your breath, to let yourself find a place of stillness that is comfortable, where you can really begin to relax. You can begin to just find some ease. Where you can let go of trying. Where you can just let go for a while. And very gently bring awareness to anything that's holding back, anything that's resisting, any fear or insecurity or vulnerability. Just be very gentle as you give that attention. Even if now, as we're looking at each other in the silence, if you can notice the connectedness, beautiful, or the fear of connectedness, okay, whatever it is. It really is amazing to find out that we're already connected. Then when no one's holding back, there's love. And then we know the true meaning of life. That's it. So just be very gentle with whatever may be holding back or pushing away or trying to distract. And as you open and feel that connectedness, let that happen. Let that beautiful energy just radiate, because it's infinite. If you're feeling separate, that's okay. Just notice that. be gentle with the one who feels alone or disconnected or afraid. Okay. Fear is often the movement towards the heart opening and awakening. There's no end to how much you can love. The more you give, the more you receive. And that is what transmission is. That's what the transmission of the Dharma is, that as you connect into the light and there's the absence of the other, there is the deepening into the light for everyone. It is way beyond our comprehension. It's way beyond our ability to articulate and describe, but we do a limited job at it with language. I never travel without Kleenex. Tears of joy. Okay. You know, it seems so simple. Just be here. Not a lot to think about, really. But notice if you're not here. Notice if you're in your mind, in your thoughts, if you're analyzing or comparing or fantasizing, remembering, interpreting, comparing, judging. Being here is absent you. It's absent the one who's perceiving. It's absent the knower, the believer, the perceiver, the interpreter. Simply bring awareness, bring attention to any resistance, any holding back, or any struggling. Because trying to know what's happening is struggling. Trying to get enlightened is struggling. You're still identified in the one who wants to be free. Just drop all of it. You can wake up right now. Just allow the profound stopping to take place. Where there's no pushing, there's no pulling, there's no getting away. Then there's just seeing without someone who is trying to see. Then there's feeling without someone who's trying to feel. And then the space of awareness is here. Just be that. Be the space of awareness. Let yourself fall in love. As much as possible. Fall into openness, into spaciousness, into connectedness. Requires no efforting, just the awareness of any holding back or resistance. And when it's ready, it will let go. Not when you think you're ready. And the flower blooms when it's ready. It's fragrant all by itself. It's its nature. And when it is fragrant and bloomed, you can go, oh, that is so nice. Take in that beautiful fragrance of love, which is healing. And nurturing and nourishing. When we become awakened, we have the beginning of being fully human. I don't know how that happens. It's a miracle. Okay.